Isaiah chapter 9, if you would. I'm going to start at verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. This passage describes the coming of the Messiah, describes the effect of his kingdom. And really, it views the end from the beginning, doesn't it? It looks forward to what the whole thing will look like, and we stand right in the middle of it. The light has already dawned, but we are not yet seeing the fullness of the kingdom that Jesus was born to bring. We've seen the light dawn, but we're not in the middle of the day yet. I wonder maybe if some of us relate to this feeling of verse 2. People who walked in darkness have seen a great light. I'm personally done with other options. I'm finished with other hopes, other saviors, other political messages, other ways of living. I'm done. The kingdom that Jesus is bringing is the only one. It's the only one worth investing in, obsessing over. It's the only one worth rejoicing really over. And look at the nature of this king. Look at the nature of this king. The boot of the tramping warrior, verse 5, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned in the fire. He'll end the wars. He'll end the conflicts. The funny thing about that is how he does it, you know. He doesn't do it by overpowering them by force. He does it by dying for our sins. He does it by the word of his mouth. He's given this incredible name in verse 6, you know, Wonderful Counselor. The Hebrew there is really kind of funny to deal with. He's a wonder of a counselor, or he's a planner of wonders. It's kind of vague. He's the mighty God. Really, this is an image of God as a warrior. The word for mighty is the word for warrior. He's a warrior God. And then Everlasting Father doesn't mean Jesus is the Father in the Trinity, but Everlasting Father. Father would be a name you would give to a king who really looked out for the well-being of those under him. A righteous king is like a father to his people. He's benevolent and kind. And that's the nature of Jesus' kingship. And Prince of Peace, and somehow those two go together, Prince of Peace and Mighty God. But peace here is not just the absence of war, it's the Hebrew word shalom. It has to do with a wholeness. It has to do with not just the absence of killing, but the presence of divine blessing, rich relationships, and fertile soil, and joy. And as I'm looking at this Jesus, I see how he lived. You get the nature of his kingdom and how he lived and how he ministered. I see him speaking truth to those who want truth. I see him healing the sick. I see him bringing hope to those of us who do live, not just in a land of darkness, but in the darkness of our sin. It's really hard to put into words. I looked at this passage this week and I thought, there's just no way that I'm going to be able to put into words what I feel when I read verse 2. And I could see your faces. You were like, okay, nonplussed when I read over verse 2. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. I don't know how to let that land on us. I just don't know. Can you imagine if he'd never come? Still enslaved to sin, under the condemnation of the law, death still lies over the land, unchallenged and unchecked. But since he came, became this tiny little baby that hardly anyone noticed, incarnated, fleshed out the perfect love and truth and glory and grace of God, confronted all the enemies. Because he came, we can live with hope. Because he came, death has not just been checked and challenged, it's been decisively defeated in his cross and in his resurrection. And it still hangs over the land. Let's be honest. The shroud of death still hangs over the land. And it will until his kingdom comes in fullness. But you guys, it's been defanged. For us, for the Christians, for us, to be on death's door is to be on heaven's porch. And sin hasn't been perfectly eradicated out of me just yet, has it? Or you just yet? But the decisive blow has been struck with the coming of this king. The sanctifying power of the Spirit is letting us know that one day this project will be complete. And the condemnation we deserve, the judgment of God we deserve that he took on himself, was always his plan. This light has dawned. This light has dawned. And here we're going to take communion. It's going to be like my shortest sermon ever. Here we're going to take communion where we both look back. We look back and we remember the coming of this one in the flesh as a baby to die for us, to reveal to us who God really is. And you know I keep saying this. Please don't look just at your life to figure out who God is. Please, please, if you want to know who God is for you, don't look at your circumstances. Look at Jesus. He is perfect theology. He is perfect theology. He tells you who the Father is. So we look back as we take communion at what Jesus has done, but oh, we look forward. So I don't see the government fully on his shoulders yet. You know, the word that's translated government there is his dominion, his kingdom. His kingdom is not under him, and he's bossy and giving his orders, and he's demanding his way. He carries his kingdom. To belong to the kingdom of Jesus is to be carried on Jesus' shoulder. Man, I wish I could just make this land on you. To us, not to just Mary and Joseph. This child is born. To us, a son is given. It's for us, this little one, for our salvation, for our redemption, for our deliverance, for our forgiveness, for our transformation and ultimate freedom, for our resurrection from the dead and life everlasting. For our adoption into the Father's family, a light has dawned. It's the first light of dawn. I personally like dawn more than dusk. I'm not sure why. But here we are standing in the midst of hopelessness and despair, trying to tramp out a life in the midst of a world gone mad and a world that's oppressed and chasing after dead-end dreams. And a light has dawned. Let's hold on. Let's hold on to this son, even as he's holding us up on his shoulders. Let's hold on to him as we live in the midst of this time of uncertainty. It seems like the more I watch the news, the more irritated I get. It seems like the more I listen to those who are prognosticating of what's ahead, the more depressed I get. And they may be right, but even if they are, no one can stop this kingdom from coming. Amen. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish it. It's not a matter of if. Jesus' kingdom will come, and righteousness and justice will reign on the earth. It's not a matter of if sin and sickness and disease and decay and death will be completely wiped out, and wholeness and life and joy and peace will cover the earth. It's not a matter of if. It is simply a matter of time. Give him Jesus. I prayed about this. You know I do pray. I said, Lord, what am I supposed to tell the people? And he said, this is my solution to the problem.